Good morning, my family. Good morning. It's a good morning to be alive. It is a good morning to be alive. So family, this morning I want to start us off. I'm going to get a bit movie around here. Sorry, Nick. I want us all to start this morning by thinking about something that you love. Now, it can be a hobby. It can be an object. It could be food. It could be a drink of some description. Now, as I said those different things, especially food, for some reason, a few faces lit up. I think that we've got a few food lovers or particular food lovers in the house this morning. Come on. Whatever it is, though, that you have chosen, whether it's a car that you have parked in your garage or whatever, it needs to be something that you love and something that you love doing or working on or like being involved with. It's not like I love traveling and I've never been overseas kind of thing. We're talking about something that you personally have experienced and in fact expose yourself to often. So for me, that thing is coffee. And most of you would know that, I'm guessing by now, that I am an avid coffee lover. In my life, the order goes like this: God, my beautiful wife, family, friends, and coffee. And pots, German pottery. Okay, so I also love West German pottery. Yeah, West German pottery. We're going to extend on that, not just leave it at pot. Yeah. All right. Some mornings, that order gets a little bit hazy and coffee finds itself bumped up a few notches. Anybody in the house this morning? Yeah, all right, sweet, yeah. Got some other coffee lovers. But this coming weekend is a very special weekend for the Specialty Coffee Association of New Zealand, this coming one, because it is the New Zealand Barista Championships and Latte Art Championships. Now, for those of you who didn't even know that there was such a coffee, an event that existed around coffee, like that, there is. And this coming weekend, it has been held. And myself, I have quite a few friends in the coffee industry. And I have been honoured to by one of my friends who is competing in the New Zealand Championships to be his assistant. Now, you get to pick one assistant. That person gets to travel with you, go behind stage, help you prep. But they don't just do that. They journey the whole training process. And it's been so awesome getting to be a part of that. I've spent the last few months journeying the training process with my friend, and it has included finding the particular coffee. So we're not just talking about any type of coffee pulled off the shelf. You've got to pick the right sort, special sort. It can get flippin' expensive picking the right coffee, I'll say that. From picking the coffee that we want to use, that he wants to use, to cupping the coffee, figuring out the flavor profile and so on and so forth, roasting it so that it has the correct profile, experimenting with the recipe, and then eventually nailing down the routine of what he will present to the judges. This has been months worth of training, and a lot of coffee has been drunk as a result. It's a good thing. But come next weekend, my friend, he will stand before a panel of judges where he will introduce his coffee to them. And it is just that. It has become his coffee, where he has done months of journeying with this coffee and finding out all the good things about it and all the bad things about it. And he is going to explain to them his experience with this coffee, why he chose this coffee, and what he has come to love about this coffee. This morning, I'm going to drop a bombshell and say that this is a little bit what it's like with God's love. whether it's my example of loving coffee or your own, whatever you may have picked, we can't share that love with others unless we have first experienced it for ourselves. It doesn't work. Imagine saying that you are a fan of muscle cars and working on muscle cars, and then you go to explain what you love about working on them, but you've never done it. It doesn't work because you haven't experienced working on a muscle car. It wouldn't work for me to explain the things that I love about coffee and particular types of coffee and the origins and the varietals and so on and so forth and that, and then say, oh, and by the way, I haven't drunk this coffee. It doesn't work and it doesn't make sense. Imagine if my friend just grabbed some random coffee off the shelf, having had no experience with it, and then tried to share it with the judges. They just wouldn't take him seriously because of two things. He hasn't experienced the coffee for himself, and he has not been changed by the coffee himself. And Andy introduced last week the first half of our series titled Loved. And this week we are going to talk about the other half to love. Loved to love is our series that we're in. Now, often when it comes to living our faith, if you're anything like me, there really quickly can become this disconnect between the love. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ here this morning, whether it's like yesterday or 90 years ago, whatever it might be, there really quickly can become this disconnect between the love that you first received and even the moments of love that you have experienced with God, and our response to loving him and others in return. And so I want us to work through a part of 1 John 4, which has been a passage that we have used a few verses from over the last few weeks. And so 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7 is where we're going to start. If you'd like a Bible, please throw your hand up and one of the host team will get that to you. So starting from verse 7, it's going to come up on screen. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Praise God for that. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, the things that we have done wrong. When writing this, John starts with dear friends. Start of verse 7, dear friends. Depending on what translation you read, you might read beloved. Some others say dearly loved ones. Now, this is a term of endearment from John himself to the people he was writing to. But it's really easy to skim over it as if that is all it is. It's not. It's actually a reminder to the people he was writing to about their standing and identity and position before God. He's saying, you, God's friends, God's beloved, God's dearly loved ones. He starts there before he goes any further talking about what it looks like to love others. And this morning we have to start there. Just like we spent an entire last Sunday on the topic, we have to start with this. We are loved. Beloved. Dearly loved ones of God. That is you this morning. This is written to you. And so listen up. He carries on pointing to the greatest act of love ever shown from verse 9. And he finishes it with this. This is love. This is love. Big statement here. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. It seems counterintuitive. It doesn't seem to make sense that this is love. Not that we loved, but that we were first loved. But that is why it's powerful. And that's why it's beautiful. And that's why God's love is life-changing. Because it's unconditional, not based on what you have done. Thank God for that. But because he made you, and he values you, and he has placed potential in you. And he is going to change this world through you if you let him. God loves you. And we can get excited about that. Come on. Come on. In this verse, John is reminding us to remember who we are to God. He reminds us this, and this is the first point of this morning, to live loved. To live loved. Which is exactly what Andy was talking about last week. To know that we are greatly loved by God, even though we will never fully understand that we are greatly loved by God, but we are invited to experience this great love of God day in, day out, moment by moment. It's a thing that we can't grapple our heads around because when John is writing about what love is, he says, this is love, not that you loved, but that you were loved. Get your head around that. That's a riddle and a half. And that's why it is so powerful, because it is so counterintuitive and offers so much that this world does not, where it says, I will love you and value you if you show me you are lovable and valuable. But God says, you are lovable and you are valuable. Because I made you and I know you. So believe it. It's a command of God. Believe that you are loved, and it will change how you live and how you love. Come on. And this leads us to the second point and the second half of the series title this morning, to love. We can't just stop at loved, because there, although we are greatly loved unconditionally, we are also loved for a reason beyond ourselves, and that is that every person would come to know the great love of God that you first experienced. John puts it this way in verse 11 and 12. He says, dear friends, there we go again, dearly loved ones of God, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So here he is saying this, by the way, guys, as you lived loved, you are going to start loving with the love of God. It's a domino effect. It's not an option. It's a reality of what happens when you begin to live loved. Now, this is something important that we all need to know. Loving others is something that we ought to do. John says it in verse 11. But it is never something that we are called to conjure up or force, because it then becomes religion. And that is not what God is about. We instead are called to live loved, and let that love shape how we love each other. And this is the amazing thing. This is one of the powerful things that kind of comes out in this passage, is this reality. Because it's really easy to live with this tension of going, okay, so if I'm to live loved so that I can love others appropriately, or as I ought to, as John might put it, how do I do that? And that is a massive question. How do I live loved? For one, it starts with accepting it. It really is that simple. Accept that you are loved. Accept that you are loved. But then there is this practical thing that we can do at the same time. And this is how good our God is to us. Because he knows that we can so easily get caught up in the how do I, and then we just sit there and do nothing. And and in this passage, it talks to us and it says this, that when we love one another, we will experience his love. So there is this practical thing to what we can do. It says, verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And so when I wake up in the morning and I don't feel all too lovely, especially before the coffee, and I start to live my day wrestling with who I am and my value and so on and so forth to this world, the first thing I must do, have to do, is accept that my value is not in this world, but in the one who made me. And it says you are greatly loved. And to start there, but the practical, ongoing thing of this is that I am then invited to love one another, to love others, and I will experience the love of God in that moment. So as I love my wife in the morning, it is actually an invitation. Get this. It is an invitation to experience the love of God. That is powerful. And if you're not married, that's hard to love your wife. But you do have a mum and a dad. You do have siblings. You might have flatmates. Hopefully you don't live alone. No, just joking. Just walk out on the street and love your neighbour. But anyway, the reality is this. It doesn't matter who you love. We are just told to love. Because in that moment, we are invited to experience the love of God that he has for us. I love what Judith Smith says in his book, Life Is. That's it. Life Is, ... Fill the blank. It is such a good book. And if you have not read it, read it. If you're thinking about a book to read, go and buy it. It's so solid. But this is what he says at the end of one of his chapters. He says this. Sometimes we think that what is most important to our success is our effort, our work, and our ability to follow God. Those things are great, but they are not enough to sustain us through the chaos and craziness of life. But the love of God is. The only way we're going to make it over the long haul is to do what seems so counterintuitive, to lean into Jesus' love, to sit with him, recline with him, and trust him. Let love lead your life, and you will end well. Such good words. Man, read that book. It's powerful. But the thing is that it doesn't just end there. You see, those last two verses were about loving each other. Verses 11 and 12 were about loving each other, as in those who already love Jesus. But what about those who don't love Jesus? I mean, we know that God loves them. It says so in verse 10, not that we loved him, but that God loved us. And so verse 13 and 16 goes on to build on this from what John is saying. And he says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. In these verses, this is where we are called to lead loved. That as we live in the love of God, we become more aware of those who don't know God's love for them. And we get to lead them to it. Not that we can save anyone. That is so not our job. That is so not our job to save people. Man, I couldn't save myself. Why do I try to save people? It's just ridiculous. No, that is not our job. But we can lead them to and introduce them to the God who made them, has a plan for them, has a purpose for them, who loves them with an illogical, immeasurable, unquenchable love, and longs to give them meaningful and abundant life. This is the truth, and this is what we have been given and is offered to us. And so we go back to this whole thing of, but how do I live loved? And we talked about what it looks like to live loved when we love others that love Jesus. And in that moment, we are invited to experience the love of God. Because we haven't seen him, but we get to experience his love in that moment. When we love others, though, as in those who do not know Jesus, we experience God's presence, which is love. When we love others who do not love Jesus, we also get to experience his presence, which is love. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission that most of us here this morning will know, talks about how, well, there's this commandment, go and make disciples. In other words, followers of Jesus, not of you. Go lead them to the love. Go lead them to God's love, introduce them, and let God do the saving. But as we lead them there, there is a promise in this command. And I will go with you wherever you go, even to the ends of the earth. Andy last week talked about how God is love. He personifies love. And the promise that when we go and share the love of God with those who do not know of this great love that God has for them, we are actually going to experience the love for ourselves, because wherever we go, he promises to go. And so we are in his presence. He goes before us and with us. We go in his presence. He enables us. He empowers us to lead these people to knowing God's love, to introducing them. And in that moment, we are also promised that we will experience the love that God has for us in his presence. How cool is this? It's like whether you wake up and you decide to live loved, or you wake up and you decide to love one another, or you wake up and you decide to love somebody who doesn't know Jesus, you can't escape his love. It's everywhere. He loves you. He's committed to you, to this relationship. He will make it work, even when you can't. And we can't. Day in, day out, I fail. But my God loves me. And he embraces me. He draws me back in and he says, it's all good, Dave. I got this. I love you. And verse 16 says this. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Really important. Rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love, sounds a whole lot like living loved, lives in love, lives in God and God in them. What or whose love are you relying on today? I'll say this. It could be as simple as this. In the morning, we have the opportunity to rely on the love of God or on the love of others, which is going to fail us. I don't know of any perfect human love. But the invitation at the end of this is to rely on God's love. No one else's. God is love. Whoever lives loved lives in God, and God in them. CBC's vision is that we long to be a growing multicultural community who love God, love each other, and love the lost. And the only way that will ever happen is if we first live loved. The only way it's going to happen is if we first live loved, guys. And as we do, we will start to see our love for God grow, our love for others grow, and our love for the lost grow. Because those are three camps or three areas or people or whatever you might categorize them as that I actually, being really honest here, can struggle to love. God, others, and the lost. Because often I can feel flippin' unlovely. And if that's how I'm feeling, I'm going to struggle to show anybody love beyond the love that I'm feeling. And so in that moment, I can choose to rely on the love of God. And then out of that, love others, whether they know Jesus or not. And I will experience the love of God. That's His promise. Family, if we want to grow as a community, whether numerically or in health, we have to rely on the love that God has for us first. If we want to grow numerically or in health, as a body here, we have to rely on His love first. Let that shape us and how we love, and we will see things change forever. And so where to from here? The three things that we talked about this morning was this: to live loved, to love loved, and to lead loved. And you'll see that in each one of those components, it is a result of the love that we have first received. And so family, this gets me excited because as we start this year and we start to look forward to what God has for us and what He wants to do through us, and as we look at this vision of a growing multicultural community who love God, love each other, and love the lost, I realize this. We cannot stay here. We cannot stay where we are, happy and content. Because part of experiencing the great love of God is to love one another and to love others, full stop. And so that should encourage us, give us a kick, whatever it might be, to get off our chairs and to turn to those behind you or in front of you, on either side of you, to walk across the room when you come on a Sunday morning and to love those that are also here. To find out what they need, where they're hurting, what we can do for them. And we will experience the love of God. We cannot stay here, family. We got to go. It's exciting. God has more for us. He is with us. He is for us. He loves us. I'm going to get shouty. Because my God has already declared over me that I am valuable, that I am lovely, that I am powerful. If only I sit in a position of at His feet and recline in Him and trust and rely on His love first. And it will shape us, it will move us to the next. And if you're unsure about this, if you think, well, this sounds nice, come and talk to me more because I've got some convincing to do by the sounds of it. Or go and read the book Life Is. That's also an awesome book. Above all, read the Word of God. You will know, it doesn't matter what page you turn to, you will look at God pursuing His people. Family, we cannot stay here anymore. We got to go. God has more. He wants to change this community that we are in, this city that we're in, this nation we have been placed in. Do you believe it? You can rely on the love of God. You can rely on His love, and wherever you go, He goes. He is with you, He is for you, and He is love. There is no place, no home, no street, no individual, no job that you can do where if you go living loved, you can escape His love. Family. I'm excited and convicted because I know that God wants to change this place. He wants to move amongst us, His people, through His Spirit, powerfully. And that's not to say we will not have our struggles. But that's why we love one another. And we support one another. We uphold one another. We pray for one another. We find out something that's going on. And we get on our knees together and we say, God, we need You. We are loved to love. This love is too great to hold on to. Because it's holding on to us. We don't need to fear. Instead, we go and we love. With a love that's not our own. But a love that we have been given and is promised to be lavished on us day in, day out, moment by moment. Band, do you want to come up, my friends? And as the band comes up, family, can you stand with me? And as we, because I just want to wrestle with a few things in prayer with God about this, about what it would look like to live loved and to love loved and to lead loved. And if this morning in any way you're struggling or unsure about what God is saying to you in this moment, as a way of just acknowledging that, I invite you to feel free to just to raise your hands and to just go, God, I'm in a place of surrender because I need to know what You're doing in me. And so I invite you to raise your hands. It's not a thing you have to do. But if that is where you are at this morning and you need to know and hear the Word of God, then just feel free to raise your hands. But in this moment, we're going to have some space in the presence of our mighty God to be loved and to ask Him, God, what does it look like for me to love others? And so right now, we're going to stop, give space. Just invite you to pray that through with God right now. I don't know where you're at in this journey. It might be just that you need to start living loved and to rely on His love. Feel free to wrestle with that with God because He's going to come through. He is our mighty warrior. He will not fail. But if you this morning are going, I need to get off my butt and start loving my wife like I should, or my kids like I should, or my mum and dad, my brothers and sisters, my friends, my work colleagues, my schoolmates, whoever they may be. If you're unsure how to love them, right now I invite you to ask God to fill you with a love that when it comes the time, it will just pour out of you. Because it's a love given to you and it's not your own.